Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. The next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome here from North Pole South here in the corner room of the historic Clay County Courthouse. It's just a little bit nippy out here this morning, but we've got the fireplace going, and we're gathered around it and backed up against it and trying to warm up a little bit, and we're going to have a good show this morning. My first guest this morning is going to be Mr. Luke Collins, who is with UCHRA, and we'll get back to him here in a few minutes. He's chomping at the bits, wanting to talk to us about some stuff.
Ready to go.
But we will we'll take just a little short break, and we'll come back. Might even do a couple little announcements before we get started, and we'll be back just in a minute.
Hello, this is Paula Boone with Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center. We are excited to announce two new services available to our community. We are now offering adult daycare and outpatient therapies. Our adult daycare program is designed to provide improvement in the health of adults who may just need a safe place to be during the day. Nutritious meals, snacks, activities, and a full-service beauty shop are just a few of the services available. Outpatient physical, occupational, and speech therapies are now offered to our community as well. Most major insurance plans are accepted. For more information, give us a call today at 931-243-3139. We will be glad to assist you. Again, that is 931-243-3139, Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center in Salina, Tennessee.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Welcome back, everyone. We're managing to stay warm here in the courthouse, as I said a few minutes ago, and we're glad to be with you here this morning and hope we'll bring a little sunshine into your room this morning with our show this morning. We're going to start off with the Director of the Upper Cumberland Human Resources Agency, Mr. Luke Collins, who is also a former county, what's it called, mayor or county executive back in them days?
Well, it started out as county executive.
And you got promoted to mayor.
Promoted to mayor.
Okay. But he now is the, I guess, the CEO, director, whatever you want to call him. He's in charge of the Upper Cumberland Human Resources Agency over in Cookeville, which provides a lot of services to the 13-county district that he represents. Good morning, Luke. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. And it's good to be here with teaching and coaching legend Thomas Watson. I tell you, it's good to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
It's always great to have one of our former students back here amongst us again.
That's right.
I know now you are, like I said, you are the director of the agency over there, and you followed a long-time director, and I know how deep you want to get into becoming the director there, but tell us a little bit about that, how that all came about. And I worked over a number of years ago for Ms. Phyllis when we did the old summer youth programs, and I know it's been a big change over there in the last little bit.
A lot of changes, Thomas, a lot of changes, and I am very, very proud of them, I can tell you that. And I guess a little bit of the history, of course, Ms. Bennett, Phyllis Bennett was the executive director there for, I guess, about 35 years. There was a couple other executive directors before her, that's worth our very long, maybe a year, year and a half or something. So she was really the resource agency for something years. Did a great job, and she was really motivated to help people. And the organization has grew a lot. It started in 73, so we're in our 41st year. Started out with about 6 employees. Now we have over 500. So it's a large organization and a great organization. But back to the history, I guess, Ms. Phyllis unfortunately got sick and was not able to fill her duties, and the board asked for people to apply. And actually, the first time, I didn't apply for the position. I was happy in the job that I had, and there were some things that happened, and the board reopened it and said, we want to reopen the position and ask for other people to apply. And that second time, I applied, and was just very lucky and very blessed to get it, and what an opportunity to be able to make a difference. And that's what I love most about it is, what I found out about me is I need a carrot in front of me all the time. I need something, an opportunity, and something to motivate me. And this is a great opportunity to make a difference, and we sure have. And one thing, when I first took over there, I'll be honest with you, and I'm ashamed of this now, but I was pretty skeptical of the organization. But I tell you, what I found was a lot of employees that were very, very dedicated and made all kinds of sacrifices, personal sacrifices to help people, and I really admire. Now, Ms. Phyllis did a great job hiring the right people and getting the right people in those positions. And one thing that I found, I've been there a little over a year and a half, and of course we have turnover and we hire different people all the time. People that are compassionate and people that love to help people, they're successful at the Human Resource Agency. But if they're not compassionate, they won't stay there long. Because that's what we're about. We're about making a difference and helping people. And if you love helping people, it's a great place to work. But just lucky enough to get that job. And let me tell you some of the things that that we do. And we have 62 different programs, and we actually cover 14 counties.
Okay, there's another county now?
Yeah, we snuck another county.
Who did we pick up in all this?
You know, I'm not for sure. Probably Van Buren County, maybe, or Warren County. I don't know if Warren was in it then.
Yes, I think they were. Maybe it was Van Buren. I'm not sure. I know we had 13 when I used to get to travel through most of them.
And we've got an office in every county. Over one of the big pushes is to increase efficiency, and I'm very proud of the things we've done. We've cut expenses over $500,000, and that's money we can roll right back into services. But and we're always looking for ways to be more efficient, but we kind of draw the line on these county offices. Now, we know down these county offices have one office in Cookeville, and it would be more efficient, but in doing so, we would really sacrifice being able to better serve the public. So that's the one area where we say, look, we're going to stay focused on helping people, even though it's going to cost us a little bit. We serve all 14 counties, but we want to make sure that the people out in these outlying counties, Clay, Pickett, Macon, Van Buren, and some of those, it's pretty far out, gets their fair share.
Well, in order to feel like you're a stakeholder, you've got to be able to drive into your county seat or wherever and look up and see a UCHRA officer if you really feel like you're part of the organization.
Right.
And every time you need something, you don't have to run to Cookeville to check on it. And I know it has to. It's a great convenience for our citizens here in Clay County and the other outlying counties.
It is. And I'm very, very proud of it. I'm not kidding you. The more that you look into the Human Resource Agency and the more you talk to the employees and the more you learn about it, the more you'll appreciate it and say, man, this is a great deal for the taxpayers, and I'm proud to live in a country that has people and organizations that do these things. I mean, it's a blessing. Just to name some of the things that we do that y'all may not know about, we also do, a lot of people know about Meals on Wheels and our vans and those type of things, but we also have a probation service that we do for the state. I do youth probation, and what an opportunity to make a difference.
Is Mr. Terry Alley still in charge of that?
Terry Alley works with us, but now he's been promoted. He's over in transportation, so he's not doing that part anymore, but he could. He could. That Terry's dandy, does a great job. Now, he's got a son named Seth. It's a little bit different topic, but now y'all may very well hear him on the radio. He's got a contract, I believe, with Sony, and he's in Nashville and making music, writing music. So we're proud to for Terry.
Okay, let's take just a short break here for a second, catch our breath, and we'll be back after we have a word from our sponsor.
Husqvarna is the world's largest producer of outdoor power products. Husqvarna offers a full line of lawn and garden equipment for the homeowner and the professional. Chainsaws, blowers, trimmers, mowers, tillers, and zero turns. Husqvarna has everything you need and is here to help you with all of your outdoor power equipment needs. Stop by Clay County Farm Supply at 408 Brown Street in Salina or give them a call at 931-243-4169 to see how Husqvarna can help you. Husqvarna, taming the wild.
Clay County Farm Supply in Salina, Tennessee is now your certified dealer for Gator-Made trailers. Gator-Made is your best source to buy trailers factory direct. Gator-Made trailers offer a wide variety and style of trailers, such as utility, gooseneck, equipment, and pintle hitch trailers, enclosed cargo trailers, flatbed, platform, cargo, and dump trailers. And financing is available for Gator-Made trailers and Husqvarna products at Clay County Farm Supply in Salina, Tennessee.
Welcome back, everyone, here to the historic Clay County Courthouse at WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country, coming to you live and in living color right here from Salina, Tennessee. Just a little quick thing I want to throw in here before we get back to Mr. Luke Collins, and that is to make just a little quick announcement and remind people to go down to the Senior Citizen Center every day, except I believe Wednesday and the weekends. They've got all kinds of activities going on down there. They'll serve you some lunch, and I think there's a big pitch tournament going on just about every day, and word has it that C.D. Reeser is the best pitch player down there. So if anyone wants to contradict that, we'll give them a chance to. But right now we're back again with Mr. Luke Collins. We're talking about UCHRA, and we maybe need to get into some of the programs that UCHRA sponsors. I know you mentioned 62, so you probably have all of those right at the tip of your tongue, don't you, what they do?
Oh, yeah, know them all. That's right off the
bat. some of the ones that are, you know, maybe more out front that people know more about, talk about, maybe something that they need to know about that's coming down the pike and to get involved in, and let's continue on.
Well, thank you so much. And Thomas, you mentioned the meals that we have at the Senior Citizen Center. That's one of the things that we do. And, hey, what a blessing to be able to go down there and eat and play cards and enjoy life, and I encourage everybody to do that. And that's one of the services we provide. The meal is free, but I want to take this opportunity to ask for donations. So anybody that comes and eats, it's free if you want it, but if you can donate to us, and that would provide some meals for other people in the future. But what we've found, and it's the short time that I've been there and before, is we've really taken a lot of cuts in the last two or three years. We were at a little over $30 million, I believe, in 2010, and now we're at $22 million. So, obviously, you don't have to be a math major, Mr. Watson, to understand that. So these programs have really taken some cuts. And what we want to do is focus on volunteerism and partnering with churches and businesses to try to make up for that. But that program, and also the Meals on Wheels, one of my favorite programs, where we deliver a meal to people every day, a hot meal, and in some cases leave them a frozen meal through the weekend. And I'd like to see that a 7 day a week at some point in time. But they get the meal, the nutritious hot meal, but more important, well, I'm not going to say more importantly, but to me, as important, it's a visitor to come by and see them and talk to them and check on them. And for some people, it may be the only contact they have all day with another human being. There's a lot of times that our people will find somebody that needs an ambulance or a doctor, or they need a phone call to a family member to say, hey, know, Miss Betty's not doing well. Could you come check on her? And it's just great to do that. Weatherization, a program that we have. We help insulate homes and put insulated doors and insulated windows in a home. Weatherization has been cut quite a bit. So if y'all get an opportunity to talk to your senators and representatives, that would be a good one to mention.
This would be a good time to do that right now.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. I know in our old house, it's not insulated good, and we just huddle in the new part because you freeze to death in that old part. We also have our energy assistance program. People that are eligible, we can help them with electric bills, help them with water bills, help them with a tank of propane, some natural gas, firewood. And we don't have as many people get wood as we used to. And, you know, about 10 years ago, we had a lot of people got wood. But just help them with energy assistance.
Okay, and like I said, with you guys load up, bring them in a truckload of wood, and put it out in the yard for them.
Yeah.
But on the others, how does that work? The energy assistance, is that like a one-time help in the winter, or
it is. It's a one-time help in the winter, and we have some other programs, emergency assistance, and some of those, so that people might get more help in the future. I tell you something that I would love to see Clay County do, and I was going to get into this later on, but this might be a good time to jump in on it. Now, Warren County does this better than any place I've ever seen, and they call it a clearinghouse. And the way they do it, they partner with churches and businesses, and the Human Resource Agency oversees it there in Cumberland County. And what happens, instead of somebody going from church to church to church to church asking for help, they come to one central location. And you can better regulate that and make sure that people are doing the right thing. Because we always want to help the needy, but let's just be honest, sometimes there are people that are more greedy than needy. But when you have this clearinghouse, they have to go to one central location. So they can't go to 30 different churches and tell 30 different stories.
Yeah.
You know, they've got to come to one location and tell their story. And then there's a board that kind of divvies out that money. And it's some of our program money. But then they have churches and businesses that also donate to it. And it works. So I know when I was a county mayor, there was, it helped a lot of people that need it, but there was a few scam artists, and if you had that clearinghouse, that would help to eliminate some of that.
Yeah, I know every night on the Nashville News and local news, you have a story of some scam artist that has scammed an elderly person, or in a lot of instances, not an elderly person, someone that, you're the winner of a contest, but to get your money, you got to send us $300, and if you'll send us $300, we'll send you $14 million by check tomorrow. And with a lot of people who aren't familiar with this type of thing, you know, I mean, they actually fall for it occasionally, and I know that is a problem. And we do have any more, you know, we hear about the shoppers that doctor shop, these kind of things, and that they try to carry it into even all of our good programs we've got going.
Yeah.
So we do have to be leery, and you know, any type of clearinghouse program would have to be great for any county.
It works great for Warren County. I tell you, I would love for a group from Clay County, and I tell you, Mr. Watson, you and Dr. Young and some of your group that are so active would be a great group to go down there to Warren County and look at the way they do it, and it's the best. I travel around these 14 counties, and I'd love to see every county do it the way they do it. They really utilize volunteers and businesses and churches, and they partner up, and it's just more efficient. It's just more efficient. Instead of having 20 or 30 churches for people to go visit, or 3 or 4 locations, or 5 to go get food, got one central location. You need food or clothes or some of these programs, that's where you go. And it's the way to do it. I'm convinced it's the way to do it. Because let's say you got five different locations where you're giving out food and you're giving out clothes and helping people. Well, you got to have help at all those locations. You got to have electric bills at those locations. You got insurance. So it's the way to go. And in any of these counties, resources are thin. And when you've got thin resources, you've got to be efficient. It pays to be efficient if you got billions of dollars.
Yeah.
But when you're thin on resources, Percy, you just say you've got to do it.
Okay, let's take another short break here, and let's make a little bit of money for us here at the radio station. We need just a little bit to keep going, so let's take another commercial break, and we're going to come back and talk about some of the other programs. I know some of the jobs training programs and those type things, so we'll be back just in a minute.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Closier. We're trying to help everyone get through this vast home improvement warehouse. We're currently in the plumbing department, but there seems to be a cart with a pallet of 2x4s turned sideways in the aisle. No one can get through. And don't even try the paint counter. They're going to be bottlenecked there for the next hour at least. You may want to avoid that area and try an alternate route. Are you tired of the long lines at the big box home improvement centers? Come visit the folks at Salina Lumber for all your home improvement needs right here at home. Remember the personal attention you used to get at the old corner store? Well, that same experience still exists at Salina Lumber Company, your local PPG Porter paint dealer, where you'll find the perfect paint, expertise, product knowledge, and personal service to help you complete any paint job inside and out. Every job deserves PPG Porter paint, a trusted brand for 90 years. Catch the PPG Porter paints experience at Salina Lumber Company, where we're so much more than lumber.
Welcome back, everyone, to the historic Clay County Courthouse here on the square in Salina on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. We're here this morning right now with Mr. Luke Collins, who is the director of the Upper Cumberland Human Resource Agencies, and we have delved into a few of the things going on over there. We've got a couple more things we want to talk about a little bit. I know jobs training is a big portion.
Great program.
Of the work that you do over there. You want to expand on that a little bit for us?
Yes, absolutely. With our job training, we have money available to help people go back to school or go to school, help them with books and supplies. May help them with travel, getting back and forth to and from work. We have counselors that can help you with a resume. And by the way, we do this right here in Clay County. You don't have to go to Cookville to do that. We've got this. The one in Clay County, our office in Clay County, is a career center. So we have computers available that you can sit down and use. We'll help you with resume writing and with trying to find a job and show you where to look and teach you some of those, we call them soft skills, but these are skills that businesses have said, hey, this is what we want in an employee. Teach you how to interview correctly. And those things are important because doing well on an interview, no matter how good a worker you are, if you can't get the job, then it's irregardless. So we want to make sure that the people here in the Upper Cumberland know those good ways to interview and how to write a resume and how to be well prepared when you get there. Chris Watson, you were talking earlier about how I got the job that I got. One common thread was all the people that interviewed said that I was by far the most prepared person during the interview. Well, that didn't happen by accident. I probably took, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 hours practicing and preparing for that interview. So any question they asked me, I'd already asked myself 20 times. So, I was prepared, and that preparation, I feel like, is the reason that I got the position. So it's really hard to overemphasize how important those skills are and the programs and opportunities that we offer to help get people back to work or in a better position.
Okay. I know you touched a little bit on education programs. Mm-hmm. What type of education programs do you offer our citizens now?
Well, we actually have three youth centers. One in Cumberland County, Cumberland Mountain School for Boys. We have Chance in Putnam County, which is a youth center or girls, and then we have Indian Mound in Smith County. And these are educational facilities. They're 365 days a year. We have students there, and they are students. Some of them have made mistakes, and they're there because of their mistakes. But unfortunately, some of them are there out of neglect, just to be honest with you. But they're great educational facilities, and we have a lot of counselors there to help these young people and let them know that there can be a good life out there, and they don't have to turn to drugs and problems and those type of things. So we really do a good job making sure these young people, when they leave, are going to be good, productive members of society. So
can they earn a high school diploma at these?
Yes, sir. They're
so you have certified teachers there?
Yeah, have principals there, just like any other school. They're just smaller. All the time, when you have those small classrooms, you can really give them the individual attention. And at these facilities, about 15 or 16 students is what we've got. And they're aged from about 14 to 18, somewhere around in there. So I'm really proud of those. And we are looking into opening another facility like that at Lakeside. You know, Lakeside is our resort. And we're looking at some options to either change it to a youth facility or maybe the state take it over to do a drug court facility or maybe a elderly care facility. And we've even talked to the state about making it a state park. So I talked to Representative Terry Lynn Weaver about that day before yesterday. We are hoping that we can make a change there with Lakeside.
I know that's a tremendous facility there that has boundless opportunities there, but you know, in it's kind of hard to do a public service in a place where there've been more privatizing than there was of public services. I know at one time there was training there for the I guess the hotel motel careers, and I know they did turn out some good people there. I think they even had a chef school there. A lot of things going on there.
When monies were available for that, we had some good training and good schools there, and we'd like to do boat motor repair and marine type school there, but unfortunately, funding has been cut. Cutting funding has really hurt Lakeside, and that's one of the reasons why we want to make a change with it, is because right now it's actually losing money, but we're having to take money from other areas to support it. But we need to make a change, and we're looking at every way possible to do that.
I'm sure something will come up on that thing. It's too great a property
right.
to not become a benefit instead of an anchor around your neck.
It is beautiful, and it's relaxing to go there. It's just like all of our marinas here. You know, there's just something therapeutic about being on the lake. Just all there is to it. I can't describe it, but it has a way about it.
Yeah, I know from being over there back years ago with summer youth groups, where we did some work there. We built a trail, done a lot of things there. I know there's a lot of classrooms there, in addition to cabins, and I think there's a small boat dock area there. So, you know, the stuff is there.
Right.
If you just get, you know, the right people, the right organization that would like to take it over, and I know you would love to see that happen.
Oh, yeah. And that summer youth program, as you know, that's another program that got eliminated. And, boy, I would love to see that program come back. That's just a great opportunity for young people to learn and to be around good role models and to work and to, you know, teach them responsibility and teach them, hey, you work, you do a good job, you get paid, and go buy the things you want.
You know, I worked with that a number of years, and I think one of the greatest feelings you had was the Monday morning after that first check, when all those kids would come back in with new tennis shoes on and
right.
a new pair of britches and,
right.
and just proud of something that they
sure.
got out and bought.
Yeah.
And something they'd earned on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know anywhere else we need to go to this morning. I'm sure you can give us a few more minutes here.
Well, of course, I want to talk to you just briefly. Our vans, our U-Carts vans, for a dollar, we can take you around Clay County and take you to the grocery store, post office, wherever you need to go. And I want you to know that's for anybody. I mean, the Queen of England is eligible. The money you make has nothing to do with it. A lot of our programs are attached to your income, but anybody can ride. It's public transit, just like the New York subway. And we can take you to the airport in Nashville.
How much would that cost the feller?
$17. And if you drive there yourself and pay the gas and pay to park your car, it's much, much higher than $17. So we actually have people at our office in Cookeville, they drive BMWs and nice cars, but they're smart enough to know, hey, this is a good value, and they park those nice cars right at our bus stop, and they get on the bus, and from Cookeville, I think it's maybe...
Well, can you book them to come back and get you after you get back in off of your flight?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, it's we make, I believe, 2 or 3 trips a day to the airport. Well, it's not like a taxi. You can't just get it the minute you want it.
Yeah.
But we're there like at 10.
Scheduled.
Right, at 10, 12, and 2, something of that nature. But it's a good deal. It is a good deal. And we sell Insure for $20 a case, and that's a lot cheaper than you can buy it anywhere. And we use that money for the Meals on Wheels program. We worked out a deal with them. And I guess if I'm low of time, the main thing that I'd like to get across today is to ask for volunteers. I would love for our Meals to be delivered by 50% volunteers and 50% salaried employees. And I have been around this state and this country a little bit, and the people here are the most giving people that I have ever been associated with. And I just want you to know that the opportunity is there for people to volunteer, to drive, and deliver these meals. And I would love for us to churches, let's say, whatever, I'll call it the Southtown Church of God, which doesn't exist, I'm just making one up, if they could deliver a meal, say, the first Monday of every month, and then whatever Church of Christ could do it the first Tuesday of every month. And if a church could commit and say, you know, at this church, our congregation is going to deliver one day a month, then that would be super. And if you take a multitude of churches, businesses can do that too. In Cookeville, Cummins Filtration, for the last 20 years, every day, they provide an employee and a vehicle, and they deliver meals around Putnam County and have been doing that every day for about 20 years. I know that some of our local businesses and churches would be happy to do that if they knew the opportunity was available and if they knew we wanted them. So I want to try to make sure that everybody knows that, hey, we want you to work with us, and we want you to volunteer and help us, and we have some great programs that you can be a part of.
I know this area here, the Upper Cumberland area, Clay County, we have got all kinds of assets, but we've all said it a number of times before, our greatest asset, our people.
Yeah, amen.
Our people will do most anything that needs to be done.
Right.
You just have to get them lined up and get them started, and basically they can do anything.
Right. Well, you know, Thomas, I'm going to say something that you already know and everybody else already knows. But in this day and time, we could live just about anywhere. If you and Miss Faye wanted to move to Australia, Russia, Germany, wherever, Paris, you could do it. No big deal. I mean, it's a pretty open world out there right now. You could do it. I could live somewhere else. I could live in Nashville, Cookeville. I could live in Colorado, wherever. But I have made a choice. Right here is where I'm going to spend the rest of my life. I love it here. So there's a lot to be said for this community.
Well,
great people.
Luke, Mr. Collins, it's been a pleasure having you here this morning. Of course, you know you have an open invitation. Anytime some breaking news, anytime you get a $50 or $60 million grant that you want to send over to Clay County, just, you know, come running in here, and we'll find a good spot for it. And we really appreciate you taking out the time to spend here with us this morning. And like I said, anytime you want to come back, you're very welcome to come back and join us.
Well, hey, I know y'all got a lot of good people lined up. Anytime you've got a spot and you need me, I'd be happy to come, because I can talk days about all these programs.
But it's been a pleasure having you here this morning. Right now, let's take another little short break, and we'll be back with our next guest.
And we'll continue on here from the Clay County Corner here at WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country. So we'll be back just in a minute.
Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need for 36 years, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have a full understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 until 4:30, and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181 for Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, we're nice and cozy and warm here in the corner. We've got the fireplace going, and we'd like to welcome you back here to the Clay County Corner, WVFB-FM 101.5, Kicks Country, coming to you live and in living color from the courthouse here in Salina. And we want to remind everyone that tonight's rebroadcast will be at 5 o'clock instead of our normal 6 o'clock time. So we'd like to remind you of that. And then I've got a couple little other things here before I get our next guest on. I know I have to announce this thing about the Senior Citizen Center. The director down there has been on to me forever, and she says she's going to come up and join us on the show here if I make these announcements a couple of times for her. So time's drawing near. You better be getting your stuff ready down there. But I'm going to talk just for a second. I know right now we've had the 4-H Club Pig Show going on down at down in Nashville at the fairgrounds, and we've got a bunch of our kids that have done tremendously well there. I think we have won some firsts and just a whole bunch of ribbons, and we'll have to get Mr. Kimes on here before long with maybe a couple of the kids who really did well down there. And so that will be a future show coming up here just in a few weeks. And also I want to remind everyone that our junior high girls team are still in the I think it's the James C. Hale state tournament down at Middle Tennessee Christian School in Murfreesboro. And I think they're playing at 8:30 Saturday night against a very good Lancaster Christian School. So we need to get down and support them. And also along the athletic line this weekend, we have our Hall of Fame induction banquet, the social get-together down at Clay County High School. And I think maybe it begins around noon with everyone coming down and having a meet and greet and just getting together and talking to some folks. And then I think there's a meal, and everyone's invited to come out to the meal and join us down there. I think the meal is maybe $12, not extremely high, so everyone come down and have lunch. And then there's an induction ceremony, and we've got a group of new inductees that are coming in this year. So I can invite everyone down for that, and then they will also be honored at the Saturday night basketball game with Macon County. And then along that same line, too, it's right now getting close to district tournament time. So we've got that coming up. And see, another little announcement we've got here, I think Moonshine Days is moving back downtown this year. I think we haven't got a date set yet. We're looking at some dates, but that's coming back down to the square. And, of course, it's not going to be long till we have car shows again. This zero weather will be gone before long, and you can get your vehicles out and get all the salt off of them and spit shine them and get them ready, and we got those things coming up. So there's a lot of things getting ready to start happening. This weather will break here before long, and we'll get out of this zero weather and get to some nice weather. But right now, I've got a young man here. I'll call him a young man. I think he was one of my students, too. But they had a tough time getting by, but most of them made it by me in spite of me, I guess. But he is in charge of tax assessment here in Clay County. Mr. Billy T. Kittle Smith, welcome this morning.
Thank you, Thomas.
I know we've got a couple of things we want to talk about. He was on a few weeks ago, and we kind of got started on some things, and there's a couple of things I know that he wants to talk to us about. I know one is personal property. We've never heard of personal property taxes in Clay County, have we, per se?
Well, I mean, it's been in since the 70s. What it is, Thomas, the personal property is like for business. You know, they pay on their equipment and stuff like that. And then through the state, I mean, you have like 3 audits per year, you know, people that's got to be audited, you know, through the personal property. I mean, it's a good tax dollar.
Okay, but it's not like the personal property, say, we have over in Kentucky where they come in and count the number of beds you got in the house.
Lord, no. They could never take it. No.
Okay, I know there's something that comes up every few years, Every 5 years, I just got reminded that we do have a reappraisal or appraisal of any new properties. And let's talk about that a few minutes. And is it getting about time for another one of them?
No, we just had one about 2 years ago. But a lot of people just don't understand how that really works. The way that the reappraisal works is, you know, no matter if I'm here, you know, it's state law is mandated. Every 5 years, you know, we go through a reappraisal. What that does, 99% of the time, your value goes up. Then when your value goes up, your tax rate comes down. Okay, the way it works, you know, just say 2012 is when, you know, we went through the reappraisal. Well, your county commissioner switched the tax rate, failed to 295. Okay, well, the commissioners, you know, they make a final decision. If they need more money, what they do is, you know, they can raise it or they can do what the state mandated. They don't, you know, they left it at 310, which that was like a 15-cent increase, you know, which that's, you know, they need extra money, that's $150,000. The way that works, you know, that's the way that works, you know, if they need more money, you know, they get it that way. And just like on the, like I was talking about, like on a reappraisal, the way that the estate comes in, you know, which we log everything down for every 5 years, every sale that we make, you know, every sale comes through to the Register Deeds office. We write it all down. Then after that, when the state comes in, what they do, they take a 6-year period and they work different areas to come up with a fair market price, what land is worth. And after that, you know, then you get your new appraisal. Is nobody happy?
Okay. Now I know on the new appraisal, I seem like I've heard somewhere or another that the amount of money you pay in property taxes can't be done by the appraisal per se. It has to be the tax rate is supposed to fluctuate with the appraisal.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. You know, that's like 2 years ago, you know, we went through the reappraisal. Well, you know, your value goes up, but the tax rate comes down because they can't bring more money in what's there. You know, so, you know, our tax rate failed to 295. But now the commissioners can, you know, if they want.
Right, they can set it whatever.
They can set it
whatever they
want
think
to.
They can get reelected for.
Right. Then that's when everybody buzzed at me, you know.
But really, you really didn't have anything to do with it.
Nothing at all.
Okay. The real estate market, you know, we've all heard for the last 10 years on our, you know, our economy, how the, you know, property values are going down. How does that affect tax appraisal rates? I know we talked about these people that had these $500,000 homes that are now only worth $250,000.
But that's like a Mr. Watson. I like around here. I mean, you know, it's just like around here. It's not affecting us, you know, like it has in your, you know, your bigger states. Around here, I mean, you know, just like land values is unreal. I mean, you know, if you put it up for sale, it's nowhere near what we got it appraised for. You know, now I have noticed, like you was talking about, I have noticed some in the housing, you know, 1 acre and a house, you know, we might have it appraised for, you know, $70,000, it'll bring $60,000, you know. But that's when it goes back to the appraisal, you know, when it goes back to the appraisal, you know, when you log this in, then when the state comes back in, it'll be 2016. At 16, when they come back in, you know, then after that, then they look at them values on the house market.
Okay, and I know when we get our tax bill, we'll see that it's they appraised at whatever you see in a house that's appraised at $90,000, and then your tax rate is based on 25% of
25% of market value.
25%. So you know, no one ever actually pays based on what they actually own.
No, I mean, no.
Now, can that be changed? Can that 25% be changed?
As it goes to the, you know, through the state. I mean, every 50 state. I mean, the counties, 95 counties. You know, it's all 25%.
So that's set by the state legislature.
Set by the state, yes.
I'd often wondered about that. If that was something that we could slip in locally and raise it up maybe a half a percent. And,
no, that's set by the state legislature.
Okay, now the tax time. That's right now upon us again.
Oh,
isn't it?
It's here.
what is the last date for?
February the 28th.
February the 28th. Would that be the 29th in a leap year?
29th.
So every leap year you get an extra day to hold on to your money.
That's right.
I know we hear all the time that we have maybe the second, third, or fourth highest tax rate in the state of Tennessee. But, you know, the thing I guess a lot of people don't understand is that we just don't have anything but property to tax in Clay County, hardly.
That's it. I mean, I think we're the, you know, third highest, you know, in the state. But, you know, you've got Memphis is one and Nashville's two, then we're number three.
Okay. Do you think there's really not any way, anything left to tax, hardly, is there? I mean, we have homes and properties, and, of course, our sales tax. I do know we get a percentage of all of our sales tax back, but we don't have enough wholesale or retail businesses anymore to generate. Do you have any idea offhand how much we do generate from that? Or is that a question Charlie Key would have to answer?
That's a question for Mr. Key. I mean, I couldn't tell you. I wouldn't know.
We may have to get him on here sometime to get him to tell us just exactly what he does and what we can accuse him of doing.
Right.
But, you know, I know what, you know, we all say, you know, if you can't get around them, and, you know, there needs to be some way that we can do something. I know we've talked about hotel motel taxes here. We've talked, you know, a number of ways to try to tax things. I know we have people that rent a $200 a year boat stall to keep a boat in instead of towing it back to Ohio where they'd have to pay $500 a year in property tax on it.
Or if not $1,000.
Or $1,000. And really, you know, so far we haven't come up with any legal plan that would work that, you know, we can tap into this type thing.
Right.
And so, you know, somewhere along the line, you know, it seems like we're going to have to come up with some of that sometime if we keep operating our county at the present level with all the county services that we offer.
That's true. I mean, because, I mean, you know, you a person can only pay so much. You know, you can only pay so much, you know, if you're on a fixed income.
And we don't have enough residential homes. I mean, we still are a rural farm county.
That's true.
You know, if we had a house every quarter mile,
that'd be great.
We could probably have lower tax rates, couldn't we?
That's true.
Different tax rates for different businesses. What about a business? The business tax rate for a business, their property tax, is it the same rate as?
No, it's 40%. You say then you've got your business, you know, like say Honest State, Molly, you know, it's Happy Sack. They're all it's 40%, which on the personal property it's 30%. Then you've got your residential. 25.
Which is 25.
Right.
So we need more businesses, don't we?
Lots of them. Lots of
them. We need to get out and attract all of them we can.
That would really help us a lot.
The tax assessment, I know you, like I said, you don't do that yourself, do you? The tax assessment, you're called the tax assessor, but you really don't make the rates or anything like that.
No.
But what about investigating new buildings or additions to homes, this type of thing?
That's what I was talking about. Like Thomas, that's just like on the reappraisal. After the state comes in, you know, that first year, you know, which I go around in a 5-year period, I think it's like 1,600 parcels I see per year. You know, then I do that. You know, like first year, you know, I'll do like Kirby Springs. Then I do that in a 5-year, you know, in the 5 or really in a 4-year period, because the fifth year you're going through the reappraisal again. the way it works is, you know, that's when I get out, and I'll, you know, if I find a new garage or, you know, just, you know, additions, if, you know, that's, you know, I put them on, that's, which makes value go up.
You know, I remember back about sometime in the middle 60s maybe, we had a, I guess all over the state of Tennessee, a major reappraisal program. We had contractors that came in here and flew airplanes over and took pictures and went out and surveyed land. And what was the result? Are there maps down at your place where a man come in and find where his property is? And
sure is. I mean, you know, that's, you know, we've got maps of everybody that owns land. I mean, you know, if you, which since I've been here, you know, we've had a lot of, you know, just a lot of developers, you know, people come in with, you know, with a, you know, have a 300 acre track, you know, then set it off and, you know, in lots, then you're, you know, then that's my job to know where that track of land is, you know, split it all off and pass it in.
Well, you know, I know, well, along about that period of time throughout the state of Tennessee, farmland wasn't taxed hardly at all. And people were coming in, people were moving down here and building big houses and stuff, and they'd come into Clay County or any of the small counties and build a big house, and it would be appraised at $100,000. And then their neighbor next door would have 10,000 acres, and they might be paying $700 a year in property taxes, and their neighbor with 10,000 acres was paying $540.
That's true. I mean, you know, which the value, you know, only thing about what it is with a farmer now, which they still got the, it's called a thing, it's called the green belt.
Right.
You know, 15 acres or more, you know, they, you know, which they get the half on it. You know, because then they could never pay them. You know, because I mean, it's a big help to a farmer. But you know, it's still, you know, it's like I tell them in Nashville, it's not right for, say, somebody like you, you know, it's got 1 acre, you know, in a house, and you pay just as much as a man's got 200 or 300 acres.
You know, traditionally, farmland really wasn't taxed in the South. I mean, because the South was rural, and of course, being rural, the rural people really controlled the legislatures in those days. But when people started moving into cities and things changed, and I guess the tax base in the rural counties have never come up with a way really to make them equal to the big cities.
To the big cities, that's true.
Okay, one more little question I want to ask you, and then we're going to, I guess, let you off for today and invite you back again. But what's the difference in a concrete driveway and an asphalt driveway?
Well, that's a good question. Which the asphalt is, you know, it's valued more through the state, you know, and the concrete, you know, which, it's nowhere near like the asphalt, but I mean that's true. I mean, you know, you do pay for that.
You know, that's something you've heard and I've heard forever.
Heard,
you know, say, well, you know, if I'd have built this thing out of concrete, it wouldn't have cost me as much.
Right.
But so the state considers an asphalt to be a permanent improvement to your property, and concrete would be a temporary improvement.
That's
I guess,
right.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to clear that up.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had that question asked, but that's a good one. I mean, that's just the way, you know, that's the way
it is. You know, and there are all kinds of idiosyncrasies in our tax system like that, the way property is taxed. You know, as you said, Greenbelt property is taxed one way. A commercial farm would be taxed another way. And, of course, that's why we have, I guess, tax lawyers you know, can lead you through these type of things.
That's right.
But, Billy, once again, it's always a pleasure to have you here. And we, like I said, it's a standing invitation to have you back anytime you'd like to come by. And when we get this big tax increase, we know you want to come back then. And
most definitely.
thank you for coming by.
But
this
I
morning.
Really do thank you for, you know, letting me come and speak. You know, I just like for the people to understand, you know, but there are a lot of times when they're, you know, 90% of the time when their taxes go up, it's not always me. You know, I just like for people to know that.
It's easier to point at one person than
right.
you at the whole
you know,
bunch.
That's the first thing you think of, you know, if mine was 500 last year and it goes to 510, boy, that's Smith, boy.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot for being here. We've got just a few minutes left, and I'm going to bring Lois in just for a minute here that's going to talk to us about the fires to the fair a little bit and maybe what's coming up with the fire board just a few minutes. I've got Lois Turner here with me this morning, who is on the fire board, and she's going to give us just, and we're going to get her back again later to expand on this a little bit more, and we've got maybe a couple more guests with the fire board that want to come by with her. But real quickly, Lois, what have you done the last day or two?
Well, last week, me and several others from the fair board went to the state convention, and we took our Fairest of the Fair, Renee Morse. although she did not win, she was very well represented our county. She was very poised. She showed dignity and grace for us. We were very, very proud of her. One quick thing, we did win three prizes, third place on our But we did win third place, and we compete against 57 counties. Like Wilson County is one county. They have over 500,000 visitors.
That's a big year.
And one quick thing, our fair board meets tonight. It's 6:30. It's Women's Building. I know there's been a little controversy about when our fair will be. It will be June the 10th through the 14th. And our beauty pageant will be June the 8th with rehearsal on June the 7th.
Okay, so those dates are set in stone.
Those are set in stone.
Okay, that's
set
good to
stone.
Hear.
And if anyone wants to come and be a member of the fair or the pageant committee, we will be more than glad to have anybody to come volunteer. It is volunteers that do all this. We don't get paid for any of this, and all the money that's made for the fair and the pageant goes right back into the fair for the next year.
You had some more things you want to talk about, and I also know that you had another member that was planning on be here that is sick this morning. So we're going to rebook you guys in here, but I want to just get you in here for a second and let the people hear you for a second. But I guess right now we're about to run out of time, and I guess we'll sign off. And, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again, and we'll be back here again next Thursday with once again, live and in living color here at the courthouse. So right now, let's get out of here for another day.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kix Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.